Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jim back here with another episode of Candid Conversations around family. And I'm going to enjoy today because I've known Mark Tim, our guest today. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic, Jim. Really excited to be here with you.
Yeah, good to have you here. Let me give a little background so we can jump in. Again, Mark is introduced to me years ago through a very good friend and has worked in some organizations that I've always looked up to for many, many years, including the Zig Ziglar Group. But he's been a serial entrepreneur for almost three decades, started more than a dozen companies that have multiplied and been sold, professionally speaking for more than 25 years. And he has a great value in being a master collaborator who brings people together to accomplish far more than anything ever imagines. And I've seen him enabled to see future possibilities and take advantage of what's next. He tells me all the time his most important role, which we've had long conversations before on, is his CEO role as his family. And that is of, you know, six beautiful young adults and his wife, Anne. And that's going to obviously tie in today because the book that you wrote recently, Mentor to Millions, was not only number one in business, but in parenting as well, which is fascinating. And obviously we're going to tie in really cool because a lot of our people have read my book. And those were the two areas we went to number one in. So we have so many core values.
Oh, cool.
I know that you've been so well versed in this subject of mentorship, and I can't express enough what it can do for families. So I'm really, really excited to dive into the conversation around this because I know what it'll do for our 18 Summers Tribe.
Well, I'm excited to dive into it as well. I mean, it's a mentorship, you know, the secret people have, you know, super successful people have this secret. And the secret is they had mentors in their lives. They had people breathe into their lives at really critical points. And, you know, the biggest thing that I have found is that we're not supposed to be alone. We were not put on this earth to be alone. We're not supposed to be alone, but yet so many of us try to do it on our own. And man, mentorship, raising your hand, saying, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to be coached. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how important has mentors and mentorship been in your life?
Well, I mean, you know, of course, I wrote a book on it, so I feel like it's pretty darn important. You mentioned early in the bio. So my first real mentor was a guy by the name of Zig Ziglar. So Zig Ziglar is my first mentor, and he put his arm around me. He said, come be my guest in Dallas, Texas. And he really showed me what it was like to have a mentor. And interestingly, I write the book with Kevin Harrington. I didn't know Kevin. Kevin didn't know me. But when Kevin was a young man, he had a mentor, Zig Ziglar. So we met through a mutual mentorship.
Oh, wow. The two of you have the same mentor. Isn't that funny?
Well, what's awesome is that Zig, it wasn't awesome that he passed away, but what was awesome is that both Kevin and I reached back out to the family, and it was actually the son of Zig Ziglar, Tom Ziglar, that introduced each other. So our mutual mentor leaves the earth, and then his son introduces us to each other, and we develop a mentorship relationship. And so I really believe that mentorship, it's cumulative. The ripple effect can live way past your lifetime. It can become a legacy that ripples on forever, just like it did with Zig Ziglar and just like it did with Kevin and I. So when you ask me how important is mentorship, I wouldn't be talking to you today if it wasn't for mentorship. I wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for the mutual mentor we had. So I'm a big advocate, if not the advocate, for how important it is to have the right mentor, then how important it is to be the best student of that mentor, and then how important it is to teach others what you've learned. That's mentorship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm a huge fan. I love the fact that that connected together. And I believe in mentorship, you do, but a lot of people are still hearing about the word, and they might not even have the right definition. So I wonder, what roles does like a strong mentor play for someone? Like, what are the roles a mentor should play for the mentee?
Yeah. So when you think of mentorship, number one, you want to find the right mentor. And finding the right mentor, often people say, I want to find the most successful guy in the room. And to me, I want to find the guy in the room that's failed a lot and then became successful. Yeah. Because that's reality of life, right? The guy who came up with one idea and became a gazillionaire is not going to make a good mentor. The guy who had to fail a lot and figure things out and learn from those failures, that's a good mentor. So you need a mentor that will listen to what your unique abilities are. What's your product, purpose, or passion that the world needs, and then help you bring it to the world? And oftentimes, that mentor is someone that understands what failure's like, that can help you pick you up when you failed, learn from your failures. And you want a mentor that's going to hold you accountable, that's going to say, hey, Jim, you know, you matter to me. I agreed to mentor you, and you're going off course, and you told me what was important to you, and I'm going to hold you accountable to that. And so oftentimes we get a mentor that's just, you know, they've got one way or the highway, or if you're going off kilter, they're just going to let you careen off the cliff. You want someone that's willing to be real and raw, and you definitely want someone that I got the equation, you know, like, and trust. Yeah. You got to know somebody, and then you better like them, because if you don't like them, they're not going to be a good mentor and you're going to grow tired of it. And then finally, and most importantly, you got to trust them, because they're going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone and try and do new things. So know, like, and trust are important in a mentor relationship.
I need it, but also I want my children to start getting used to it at young ages. Like I love, like my wife ran a Montessori school and they started the mentor protege in like third grade for kids. And I thought that was phenomenal. And that is such a simple definition. You said, well, who should mentor me? Well, someone you know, someone you like, and someone you trust. That's the starting point, right? And then I think, like you said, just to recap, someone who will hold you accountable. For me, and I'm sure for you with Zig and that, there were times they probably had to call you out and said, hey, this isn't what we were aiming for. And if you're open to that accountability, let me ask you this. Do you think, and this is something good for parents to hear, do you think mentorship works without accountability?
Well, not really. I mean, I think you can learn from people and you could look at that as a form of mentorship, but real true mentorship, the kind of mentorship we're talking about right now, like for example, since we're talking about families, I really feel like you want a mentor that's failed a lot. And the reason why is not just so you can learn from their failures, but because you want a mentor that will let you fail. Yeah. You don't want a mentor that's not going to let you fail. You know, Brene Brown, I think, is the one that said you can learn more in 10 minutes of agony than 10 years of bliss. And so we need to let people, you know, if you're a good mentor, you're going to let them fail. A good parent lets their children experience some hardship under their roof while they're with them so that they can be a good mentor. I knew we would kind of pivot this way, but the most important people you'll ever mentor in your life are the ones you live in your same house with. Yes. They are the most important. And so the same rules apply. Hopefully you know and like them and trust them. So let's get that out of the way. But the other piece is that, you know, not only should you let them fail, but here's the catch. A good mentor is willing to share their failures. And a good parent is willing to share with their kids that they've failed, that they've experienced hardship, that they've learned from their failure. So much of mentorship, Jim, is caught. It's not taught. It's being in contagious proximity to the mentor.
That's so powerful. So powerful. And when you, that close proximity, obviously you get that with your children, but just out of curiosity, were you your only children's mentors or did you have them have other mentors that helped shape them?
No, I was so fortunate. I started having my kids travel with me. Anywhere I went, I had them travel with me. I had them go with me to masterminds, to big meetings, and people actually volunteered to say, hey, look, I'm so impressed with your son or daughter that they're here. You know, here's my cell phone. I'd be willing to help or share with them. I'll give you an example. So Tom with Tom's Shoes, I don't know if you're familiar with that company, but basically they were the company, you buy a pair of shoes, they give a pair of shoes. So I'm at a mastermind and I've got my daughter there with me and he's the speaker, okay? And so she has a passion for helping kids. And so she came up with this project of, I'm going to collect shoes and I'm going to send them to Africa. Well, that's kind of in the swim lane of what this company does. Yep. So she turned around and because they made the offer, I was able to put him in connection, and he was able to give just incredible advice on how she could do this in a real meaningful way. And I could go on and on and on, but my kids had mentors outside of me. In fact, I wanted them to have mentors outside of me. And we did some ceremonies in our family. When our kids turned 13, we did a manhood ceremony. And when they turned 16, we did a brotherhood ceremony. And I had their mentors at those ceremonies to speak Great. About, you know, what was most important and valuable to them. I'm so thankful that I put men and then women for my daughters in their life that they could reach out to and learn from. And so I think you are the most important mentor. And if you get this right, Jim, I've got young adult children now. If you get this right when they're young, they will ask you to mentor them for the rest of your life. You will get to mentor your children for the rest of your life. And I think all of us as parents would love to have that. But you have to get it right in the beginning. You have to create that channel of communication that says, you can trust me, I trust you. I'll be vulnerable with you if you'll be vulnerable with me. Are you ready for this? The most powerful thing you can do as a parent is let your kids hold you accountable. If you want to be a better version of yourself, let your kids hold you accountable. The best thing I ever did, if you're watching a video, you see this crazy thing I'm holding here. I didn't want my phone to keep me from being present with my children. So I let my children hold me accountable and actually allowed them to take it from me if I was spending time on my phone when I had committed to being present with them. They loved that and they took it serious. And I'm here to tell you, I lost my phone many times. Many times I lost my phone. But here's the deal. I demonstrated accountability, that they could hold me accountable. And you know what happened when they got older? I got permission to hold them accountable because it's a two-way street. And so not only is it important for you to have other mentors in their life, I love your Montessori program because you're teaching these kids to have mentors when they're three or four. And so when they get older, they're going to look for mentors. They're going to want mentors. And that is the quickest way to impact. The book is called Mentor to Millions. Jim, millions is not dollars, it's impact. If you want to make an impact on the world, the fastest and biggest way is to have mentors in your life. It applies as much as it does at family, as it does at business, and as it does in relationships.
And you know what I love is that's a plural, Mark. You used a plural of mentors, because I'm going to say, probably whether you realize this or not, I think it's very smart what you did, and people like you showed me that. You want to be involved. You want to be one of the mentors, but not the only one for your children, because I think that puts a lot of pressure on you. And once in a while, let's say in the teen years, even if you have a great relationship, there's still that hierarchy, right? So if someone in one of these mentor in these business groups comes along as more of like a fun uncle, it might just come in just at the right angle at the right time. It takes a village to raise a child. And I think that's so important. Sometimes it's just people think it's like, it's this one solidary thing. They're elected for life. No, like you said, I'm one of my children's mentors. Then I got a few others in these areas. And it really is a team network of mentors to get those best results. And that's just, like, I want to commend you. I think that's brilliant that you did that.
Yeah, I definitely. And by the way, you can sometimes grow past a mentor, meaning they're in your life for a specific period of time. They're in your life for a specific lesson that you need to master and learn. And that's a mistake some people make too, is they're like, oh, I've got a mentor. And that's this one mentor. You know, well, I'm at a stage in life where I have a mentor in my finance area. I have a mentor in my faith area. I have a mentor that also helps me in my business area. So I don't have just one mentor, and I don't think it's a good idea for others. One thing that having a mentor for your kids does is sometimes, you know, you've got to be 50 miles away from home, you know, to be an expert. And so, you know, so sometimes having someone else reiterate or reinforce some things for your kids creates conversation points. It creates a platform for you to be able to talk to. And, you know, and it's not manipulative, it's just fact. That, you know, sometimes we're too close to a situation and we want them. What we most want is for our kids to be willing to raise their hand, okay, just like I am right now, and say, I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to be coachable. I'm ready to have a mentor in my life. Not, I need, I want. I need, I want is selfish. It's inward focused instead of, I'm ready. I'm ready to learn. And if you can instill that at an early age, the value of being a lifelong learner, I think as a parent, you'll never have to worry about whether your kids can provide for their family or be successful in the work they do or relationships, because they know that life is about relationships. It's about learning. It's about mentorship. And they'll find the right people to teach and coach them in areas that they're struggling. And so you teach them to be a lifelong learner, and you've set them. What's the adage? You know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him to fish, and he'll eat for his lifetime. Yep. And this is the same thing in mentorship. Teach your children that they don't need to know all the right answers. Get this, okay? I believe this. I don't know if you do, Jim, so you can speak for yourself, but I believe that we already know everybody we need to know to accomplish everything we need to accomplish in our life.
You know?
The question is, are you vulnerable enough or courageous enough to reach out and ask for that help? That's the real question. It's not who you know.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you're vulnerable or courageous to ask.
Yeah. You know what, Mark? 100% true. I just had an incident where a very good friend of mine, he's a thought leader. He came across a dream property for his retreat center. And I do a lot of real estate. He brought it by me. I mean, I looked at it. It matched his theme, his life, his purpose, everything he wanted to do, the fundamentals. And he said, well, I got to figure out how to fund it. And I said, you know exactly who you need to call. You just don't want to take that step. And he said the next day, I laughed so much when we hung up because you were so right. And the reason I was right is because I've done that. I've told people like, well, how am I going to get this deal? They're like, well, you got to get this deal done. You just have to make the call and reach that out. There's two people you know you should be contacting. But like you said, there's that thin wall that we're not willing to walk through. And that's usually how you find your best mentors, walking through that thin wall.
Being vulnerable. That's how you do it. You know, you want a mentor tonight, go on your social media and say, hey, my name is Mark. I'm trying to start a business. I need some help. Can you help me? You'll have 10 people raise their hand. And here's what my point. Maybe it's not one of the people in your inner circle, but they will say, I know this guy that could help you. And so when I say you already know everybody you need to know, it means you already know everybody you need to know that knows the person you're supposed to be talking to. The question is, are you vulnerable enough to put it out there? You know, so that's the point that I'm making. But if you take that pressure off and say, I don't have to have this massive network or know a million people and say, I already know them. I just have to get real with myself. That takes a lot of pressure off in this game of life, business, and relationships. The question is, be real, be raw, be vulnerable.
I love that, be vulnerable. And the leadership tone is set in our family. It trickles down. I always talk about that. If you're not vulnerable enough to ask for mentorship, why would your children be? Why would your children be? And I've always said that, where that's why I'm like you, constantly reaching out. But the one thing I always do tell my kids, I love that vulnerability piece. It feels weird for the younger person to reach out. I'm sure when your son went to the meetings, he was excited, but maybe a little hesitant. And one thing I'm sure you saw, people want to help you and I, Mark, but they don't want to help us as much as they want to help your son or my son. When they see that young passion, when they see that young drive, you are at an advantage. And I tell young people, you're young. People love helping you extra. So ask for it now. Don't wait till you're, you know, gray like me. Ask for it now. And hardly, you have the gray beard, I have the gray hair. So, but once we, if we can get our kids to ask younger, I've said there will be so many people there excited to help you because you are being vulnerable and you're being enthusiastic. So for parents, ask young. What would be, and I want to, before we wrap up, because I want to get you, I'm fascinated to know our staple community question for you, but what would be the starting point, Mark, before we dive? So, I mean, we know mentorship, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Your book speaks it all. What is the first step? I mean, first of all, I'd like to see people read your book because I think this is like such a fundamental thing. This is as important as reading, writing, and math, as far as I'm concerned. But what would be the starting point for parents besides writing your book? If they say, here's the first step, you want to help mentoring your kids better, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Mentor to Millions actually starts. It's loaded with business, relationship, family, but it starts with me at the end of my driveway not wanting to go home. So the whole book is storytelling after storytelling, helping people really see that they're not alone. They're not on an island all by themselves like it might feel. We're out there and we're experiencing the same struggles and challenges, but we're not supposed to be alone. We're not supposed to do this life thing alone. We were put on this earth to be in relationship and to be in community. Studies have shown that less than half of all people have mentors in their life. So that means the world is separated between the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. And so part of the reason we wrote the book is because I want that to switch. I want there to be more people having mentors than less people having mentors, because I believe because of COVID, because of quarantine, because of these crazy times that we're in, that we will find that this period of history, unlike any other period, that people are actually more willing to help their common man, their common neighbor, than they've ever been at any other time. Because we have this common struggle and this common challenge that we're all in it. Nobody is immune to this. There is no immunity at any level of demographic or any social economic, you know, state. This is an equalizing event. But the one thing that's equal is that I have found people that are just waiting to be asked. And that was a long setup to the real answer. And that is, nobody's going to come to your door tomorrow, knock on your door and say, "Hey, I think you might need my help." That's just not going to happen.
No.
But I'm going to tell you what, the odds are overwhelmingly stacked in your favor right now. And by the way, this book was written way before COVID and quarantine hit. So this message was written, you know, for the masses, but something has happened in the world. And that is, we are ready to help each other. Entrepreneurs are ready to help each other. Dads are ready to help each other. Moms are ready to help each other. Families are ready to help each other. Kids are ready to help each other. We are in this really special time where we want to help other people. We want to be there for other people because we're in it together. This is a struggle that we're all facing. So here's this first thing that people need to do is they need to raise their hand, like I said earlier, and they first need to look in the mirror and say, am I ready to be coached? Am I ready to be mentored? Am I ready to be a lifelong learner? Because it starts inwardly first. You must ask yourself that question. And if you can honestly and genuinely ask yourself the question, then the next step is the easier step, which is just to put yourself out there. And I promise you, the odds, like I said, are stacked in your favor. You will find far more people that say yes than say no. And you're right. People want to help your kids. What a time that we're living in right now for your children to learn from other people that are going through similar struggles that your family is, that your school are, that your, you know, that your neighbors or their friends are. And so step number one is just being out there. Now, step number one at home, I'm a big believer. I mean, you wrote the book, man, on intentional time with your family. So like, you know it more than anybody. And I believe the same thing. I think we should be having some epic conversations with our families about mentorship, you know, about how we get through times like this together. Like, we need to just rip the Band-Aid off, just pull the curtain back and say, hey, why don't we get a family mentor? Why don't we invite someone in? I mean, heck, you could invite a friend of yours into your family to mentor your family. I mean, why not demonstrate it as a family instead of even as an individual and say, I believe our family was put on this earth to do something special. Let's go on a journey together and figure out what it is. And I'm going to invite some of my friends virtually or in person, and we're going to have some conversations and we're going to figure out what makes our family special. Why were we put on this earth together? And how are we going to leave an impact in the world? And if you do that, your family is likely on the way to impacting millions of people with the legacy that you will put in motion.
It almost gives you an unfair advantage in making the most out of life, personally and professionally. So I couldn't agree with you more. And friend, a mentor, love your message and your background. I just think it's so fascinating how you went right from Zig Ziglar to basically Shark Tank to helping others create mentors. And obviously you are an incredible mentor at this stage, but this is where I get really excited with our looking ahead. Everyone teaches us, hey, Mark, what would you say to your 21-year-old self? And that's great. It's good advice. But I just know the Mark many years down the road is going to be even wiser than today. So let's pose you for closing out with mentorship. What would 75-year-old self, 75-year-old Mark, think about him? You know, still family, still impacting. What advice do you think 75-year-old Mark would give to Mark today or to people today?
So you asked me that question, and at the end of the question, the hair on my arms and my legs started to stand on end. Because like I can picture that moment. Like I look at my life and you set the question up in a way that I can be really reflective of myself. Now, part of the reason I can do that is because when you asked me that question, my visual image was of my great-grandfather, who was really my first mentor. You know, Zig was my first formal mentor, but my great-grandfather was my first mentor. I didn't know it at the time. I thought he was just being, you know, great-grandpa. And so, but he was really my first mentor, and he was teaching me through parables, and he was giving me lessons, and he was taking me places and showing me things. And, you know, and so when I think of him and I think of the wisdom that he breathed life into this young version of me, and then I give myself permission to be that person and look backwards, the advice that I would give is very straightforward, that it takes real courage and real strength to be vulnerable.
Wow.
It is easy to fake it. Jim, I can tell you that when I started this journey with my family of making my family my best and my first, making my family, I literally announced to my family that they would be the most valuable business I will ever own, ever operate, ever even be a part of was going to be them. And I could see them looking at me very skeptical. And what I realized is that I needed to, you know, to sit down and own the mistakes that I'd made. So I sat down in front of my family and I was the most vulnerable I've ever been. I owned the mistakes that I made as a father, as a husband, as the leader of our family. And at that moment, it was the weakest that I'd ever felt as a human being. The weakest. I felt naked and vulnerable. And here I was, you know, apologizing and owning my faults and failures. My now adult children, if they were on this podcast, would say that that moment and that day was the strongest our Father has ever been in our presence.
Wow.
Because we believe that we have to fake it and be strong for our kids. We believe that we have to fake it and be strong for our spouses, that they can't ever let us see us sweat or fail, that we've got to be this strong rock. But the truth is that it's far easier to fake it. And it takes so much more courage and so much more strength. And the strongest that we'll ever be is when we're being real and vulnerable with the people that we love. And so I wish so badly that I knew that when I was 21, because it would have helped me immensely get to where I'm at today so much faster. And so I would love for everybody, you know, to basically rip the Band-Aid off and say, it's time to, you know, the old saying, fake it till you make it. Man, worst advice ever. Okay, yeah. Worst advice ever. You know, the best advice ever is be vulnerable to the people that matter most and let them join you on this journey. You'll be shocked when you come home and say, you know what, kids, it's hard for me to work from home too. This is new for me. I'm really struggling and I'm failing in some important areas. And instead of being an annoyance to you next time you're on a Zoom call, they'll be quiet because you've been vulnerable enough to say, this is hard. You know, invite them to go on this journey of life, but as an authentic human being, as their authentic dad, mom, and parents, not faking it.
I love it. 75-year-old Mark Tim says, it takes real strength to be vulnerable. And I don't think there can be a better message to end on because I agree 1,000%. And that's a very easy concept to understand, but not an easy one to implement. I know that can be hard, but it definitely gives me more push to do that. And I'm sure the rest of our tribe. So first of all, I want to say thank you for all you continue to do. You've always been good to me over the years. I greatly appreciate that. I love our family chats, and I know they'll continue for years to come. I would love to know, how can people get in better touch with you, Mark? Where can they get more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if they get Mentor to Millions, all the contact information's in the back of the book. You can get it wherever books are sold. But if you want to connect with me and my family, if you want to see more of our family journey, you can go to marktim2ms.com. You're going to find a whole lot more about family than you will about business there. So just heads up, because I truly do believe that I'm CEO of the most valuable business in the world. And that's the one I'm coming home to, not the one that I go and spend time with. And so I spend more time talking about that at marktim.com than anything.
Love it. Well, I'm a big fan of that. And I will definitely be encouraging everyone, because I know our tribe is. Always an honor, always a pleasure. Thank you for being here, Mark. And I look forward to hopefully you coming back for another conversation as people continue to develop the mentorship.
Thanks, Jim.